Egyptian missile. But now he asked the question of Libertini, and she exploded away. Race three clear. Regimental Band render second. Just Field battles away. But she is a star. Libertini eased down in a hand canter. One by 2.5 Regimental Band. Third's either Just Field or Akari. Egyptian missile.
Lovely quote from Anthony Cummings in a newspaper story where he says, you can't get ahead of yourself. I've been excited a lot over 30 or 40 years and ended up disappointed, but I reckon he's itching to say something nice about Libertini as the most resilient member of the Cummings family joins me. G'day, Anthony.
G'day, how are you?
How are you?
Yeah, very well.
Come on, put a wrap on her.
Well, I mean, she speaks for herself, really. You know, the first-up effort was excellent. I mean, she ran the best final sectionals of the meeting at a carnival meeting at Randwick. So, you know, in the autumn, that's pretty good. And running second to a horse that I know good often thought was capable of troubling the winner of the slipper. So that is a good star. She handled a maiden pretty well off a wide gate and ran, you know, really good sectionals and did it very comfortably, as she did again on Saturday. So, you know, she's doing enough talking for all of us at the minute.
What happens now? I believe it's time for a bit of a break, is it?
Yeah, you know, for all the things that needed to happen for a horse of that quality, that's, you know, we had to break a maiden, we get a stakes performance on the board to sort of build the pedigree, and now that's sorted. She'll have a break and, you know, and come back for, you know, I think races that are in a race series that really suits her, and the Princess series of fillies races that go into the flight stakes, and, you know, then we'll have a bit of a think about what we might do in Melbourne. But I think in terms of the Spring Carnival of Melbourne, that if we go there, it would only be for a race like the Coolmore.
Your career sort of timeline is sort of peak, trough, peak, trough, peak, trough, and but which says there's always a smart one around the corner, and Libertini seems to be the latest. It's been a fascinating roller coaster ride, your career, over the last 20 years.
Yeah, found a few speed bumps along the way, that happened. but you've got to keep bouncing back, and quite thankful I've been able to sort of find nice horses along the way, and a few found me, as is the case here. So and that's what keeps you going.
Well, it's the old rule with any horse trainer, isn't it? It's if you're in a bit of a dip or a slump, it's the next head collar you put on the next youngster might be the next Might and Power or Beauty Generation or Libertini. So there's always a spring in the step while there's new horses coming through.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the Beauty Generation story is a good route for the stable, I think. You know, having bought him for 60 grand and then developed him into a horse that was as attractive as he turned out to be to Hong Kong, getting a lot of money for him, and then seeing him, you know, produce as he has done over there. So pretty much everyone that's been associated with the horse, you know, has had a good story to tell. And that's unusual in racing sometimes.
Yeah, and obviously you were the first to get you to identify Might and Power, and mm-hmm. I think Defy was another one. Just back to Beauty Generation while you brought him up, and again, there's a lovely quote in a Daily Telegraph story recently, and I think it sums up the reality for most trainers is there's too much toil involved to not look at the money sometimes, and your quote was, if I think back whether I should have sold Montaigne, who did become Beauty Generation, I only need to think back and to the warm and fuzzy feeling I had when the money landed. And that's the reality, isn't it?
Well, it is. You know, reality of life. I mean, you need to turn them over and you need to get a profit sometimes to survive. And certainly for the guys who are in it, you know, the horse has done really well. They're all sort of fairly pragmatic and the money was just, you know, for a three-year-old gelding, it was just more money than they could have imagined that he was ever going to be worth when we bought into it. It was basically what I'd insisted upon in the 3 or 4 months leading into that, and what they finally came to the conclusion that he was, you know, that that's what they were going to have to pay to get him. So that, you know, turned out to be a good story, as I say, for everybody.
And he wasn't a megastar here. He was a promising horse. He was placed in a Derby from memory, and as Montaigne, have you been a little bit surprised of the legend status that he's been able to achieve in Hong Kong in the three years since he departed your stable?
I think he did very well. I mean, he was in the Derby. He ran second in the race for Guineas, but you know, in his first racing preparation, like when he went, he'd only won two races. He'd had about five races all up. So to think that he'd reached his full potential by that stage, you know, would have been silly. But it's that blue sky thing, and blue sky is expensive. And we made sure it was. He lived up to all of that. But I think, you know, what they found over there was his racing style, which we hadn't gotten to at that point. We tried him on speed, and he came from back in the race, back in the field when he won at Randwick over a mile. He came from close to last and first, I think. But then his races after that, he was on speed. But, you know, seeing how he goes now, certainly had we decided to lead on any one of those other days, the real prospect is he'd have won both of them.
Having said that, do you still find it hard to believe that that horse is now the highest rated horse in the world?
No.
Okay.
Not really? Part of what you do when you're trying to find that horse all the time. So I don't think you're entitled to be surprised when you get it.
Absolutely. Hey, behind the scenes, it's such an interesting story of the dynasty that is the Cummings family, of course. Your dad died quite a few years ago now, and you were training in partnership with Edward, and just recently Edward's decided to go out on his own, as James did some years earlier, and now James is doing a terrific job with one of the world's biggest racing outfits. It's a very multi-layered story, the story of your family in racing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit early to write the book, isn't it?
I don't think you can ever write the book while the children are still being born.
We saw a few of them yesterday, the grandkids. They were a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you're now the patriarch, you know.
Yeah, what about that?
Yeah, exactly right.
You see, who would have thought?
You stuck around long enough. And what's the story with Edward? He just got itchy feet and wanted to have a crack?
Yeah, as a family, you know, while we're sort of fairly tight-knit, we're still very independent. None of us take direction easily. And the partnership thing for James and the old man was never simple. And certainly for Edward and I, at the end of the day, it became clear to both of us that our best interests were to do it on our own. So that's the way it went. He's a clever fella and he's a very, very good horseman. He's got the basics that the family abide by, the way, you know, feeding routines and the rest of it. And he's got his own ideas. And as I say, an intelligent man that knows a horse, and he'll do well.
I get the impression that the Cummings aren't the most sentimental family. They're very close knit, as you say, but everyone's success is their own thing. Having said that, James leapt into the deep end of the pool when he took that job, and I think I was one, and a few others wondered whether he had the maturity and the age and the so on to really pull it off. But he's done an amazing job. You must be proud of young James.
Oh, very. You know, the effort to get those horses, like half a dozen horses, into the slipper, you know, that's just amazing, for anyone. Pretty proud about that and getting the win the whole thing, so it's good.
Absolutely. This might seem minor by comparison, you must be proud of Smart Missile. He was a very good two-year-old that you trained, and he wasn't sexy at stud initially, but he scored the score on the scoreboard is just mounting and mounting for Smart Missile, isn't it?
Yeah, he was a fantastic individual and a great racehorse. And, you know, his racing style left him open, as it has happened a couple of times, to just missing. But, you know, he was absolutely up to Group 1 standard. Taking him a little bit longer, I suppose, to hit his steps as a stallion. He's never been a failure by any means. But, you know, certainly in more recent times, he's really hit the boards. And he's got a lot of horses coming now of some ability. And, you know, I've got a couple here that we really like. Edward actually had one run second yesterday, one of his earlier runners at Queanbeyan in over 900. Something Fast, he's won a couple for us out of the stable here just recently. I mean, I think they've all got very bright futures. So, yeah, very happy with the way that's turned out.
You've always got a sneaky one that you bowl around at 100-1 in a Group 1 and it comes off once in every few years and everyone's left scratching their heads. What's your next long shot project horse? What have you got up your sleeve for us in the next few month or two?
If I told you that, it wouldn't be 100-1.
No, that's true. Well, we'll cop 50-1 if you tell us.
It's about 6 weeks away, is what I'll tell you.
Possible location?
Yes, it'll have one.
That's almost your greatest ever quote. Yes, it'll have one. All right. Well, we'll scour Australia to find is it unraced? Can you give us a hint?
No. It's happened two stars.
It's had two starts, and it's about 6 weeks away. All right, I'm not going to pick your brain anymore because I reckon I'll be able to do a Sherlock Holmes and find that out. Anthony, well done. You are a fascinating story, whether you acknowledge it or not, and your role with this amazing family is very, very central. And yet again, you've found one. You've plucked one again in Libertini. So best of luck with her when we see her again.
Thanks very much.
Anthony Cummings there.